Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. This is Bev Herring, and today we're going to be talking about affirmations in the key of G. Affirmations in the key of G. So let's begin. You know, God is bigger than any storm threatening to sink you. God is greater than any crisis you will face today. God is stronger than your strongest adversary. God is wiser than any enemy who will come your way. God is always with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. God is patient and he will always see you through. Don't get spiritually seasick because the winds and the waves have shaken your faith. Don't be looking at your circumstances. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Today we're going to talk about and consider the life of the Apostle Paul. As a Roman centurion named Julius and a squad of Roman soldiers were transporting Paul to Rome by ship, an unexpected and violent storm suddenly changed all their destinies. The ship's captain and the centurion had been warned by Paul not to set sail, but they chose to ignore his warning. In Acts 27:9-10, Acts 27 verses 9 and 10, Amplified Bible, it says, "Now much time had been lost, and the navigation was dangerous, because even the time for the fast Day of Atonement was already over. So Paul began to strongly warn them, saying, 'Men, I sense, after careful thought and observation, that this voyage will certainly be a disaster and with great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives.'" Now, you might would think that the captain of the centurion would have listened to Paul, since he'd already been shipwrecked twice. But you know some people, they're not going to listen. And just as Paul predicted, once they set sail and got out on the sea, they met with a violent storm that began to tear the ship apart. But Paul had stood in the gap and encouraged the captain, his crew, the centurion, and the soldiers, that no lives would end up being lost. In Acts 27, verses 21 through 24, Acts 27, verses 21 through 24, Amplified Bible, it says, "After they had gone a long time without food because of seasickness and stress, Paul stood up before them and said, 'Men, you should have followed my advice and should not have set sail from Crete and brought us on this damage and loss. But even now I urge you to keep your courage and be in good spirits, because there will be no loss of life among you, but only loss of the ship. For this very night an angel of the God of whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me and said, 'Stop being afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God will give you the lives of all those who are sailing with you.'" And by the way, this was no small schooner. It was a large enough ship to have 276 people on board, all of them being spared, even though the ship was totally destroyed. The scripture doesn't say so, but you know what? I'm sure that Paul, you knowing Paul, the way that we know Paul reading the scriptures, was probably able to lead a lot of folks to Jesus, since they thought that their death was imminent. Anyway, that's just a side note. Making the opportunity of every chance we get. Acts 28:1 in the Amplified Bible says, "After we were safe on land, we found out that the island was called Malta." And going on in Acts 28, verse 2, it goes on to say, "And the natives showed us extraordinary kindness and hospitality, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all, since it had begun to rain and was cold." Next verse, this in the New Living Bible says, "As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. The friendly natives immediately jumped to the worst conclusions, because it says in the next verse, 'When the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, undoubtedly this man is a murderer, and though he has been saved from the sea, Justice, the avenging goddess, has not permitted him to live.'" But Paul knew, yes, he knew his authority, and just shook off that extremely poisonous snake and threw him into the fire. In Acts 28:5, I love these things. Acts 28:5, it says, then Paul simply shook the creature off in the fire and suffered no ill effects. So the people that were around the fire, and the enemy perhaps, thought Paul was going to swell up and drop dead. But in Acts 28:6, it says, but they stood watching and expecting him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. But after they had waited a long time and had seen nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and began saying that he was a god. You know, people, well, they just keep going and doing until finally the people realize that supernatural things are happening in their midst. But Paul didn't let the crisis with the shipwreck or the snake bite or any of the attacks of the enemy keep him from where he was going. He kept going. The people didn't realize that the Apostle Paul had been lashed 195 times, beaten with rods 3 times, stoned and left for dead, and now shipwrecked for the 3rd time. But Paul knew who he was in Christ. And that's the point that we need to get to, where we can overcome the attacks of the enemy, shake off any and everything that would seek to discourage us or weaken our faith. The enemy seems to ignore the fact that our faith is strengthened in the times of the greatest adversity. But we must also realize that too. Our breakthroughs begin when we learn that our authority over the attacks of the enemy is exactly that, our authority. In Luke 10:19, this in the King James Version, it says that we have power over snakes, scorpions, and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. I'm paraphrasing that. But, of course, we know the snakes and the scorpions. They represent demonic forces. But in looking in the translation, if you look up the words that have been translated, there are 2 words translated as power, but there are different words in the Greek. The first one is exousia, which means delegated authority, the power of delegated authority. And the last one is dunamis, where we get the word dynamite, which means dynamic ability. In Luke 10:19, we're really being told that we have authority over all the ability of the enemy, and nothing can by any means hurt us. That is an incredible scripture. And then the best part, though, is that once the enemy realizes that you know that you have the upper hand through Jesus, who's given you the authority and placed it within you, that's when he knows he's in trouble and that you are the conqueror. Real faith says this in 1 John 4:4, King James, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And in Romans 8:37, Classic Amplified, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors and gain an overwhelming victory through him who loved us so much he died for us. Greater is he that lives in us because he makes us more than conquerors. We may get beaten and bitten on occasion. It's going to happen, but we don't ever have to be defeated by it. There might be mistakes you've made in the past. Shake them off in the fire. Don't let those attacks against you poison your thoughts or stay in your mind or take you off the course that God is leading you into. Crisis, failures, defeats, attacks, they're just going to come and go. It's a part of life. But each of us must purpose in our hearts to not let anything or anybody weaken our faith or steal our joy. You know, Paul was not a prisoner of Rome, even though the Roman soldiers guarded him. They didn't even realize this truth. Because in Ephesians 3:1, we read this, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. And in Philemon 1:1, Paul also is referred to as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Let me get into why this is important for us. If Paul were a prisoner of Rome, then Rome would be in charge of his life. But since Paul was a prisoner of Jesus, then Jesus was in charge of his life. So the obvious question becomes for all of ours, are we being held captive against our will? Is the enemy trying to talk us into being a prisoner of excuses or thinking that our fate is bad or bad decisions and making bad decisions or getting into unhealthy relationships or getting into pride or even self-righteousness? When we see these things come up, we need to shake them off into the fire. Shake them off into the fire and not let them have any part of us because we know who we are in Christ. So who is the only one who can solve our problems and strengthen our faith? Jesus. He's the best one to be a prisoner for. I remember years ago when people would pick on Christians, they'd say, "Are you a fool for Christ?" And I'd say, "Yes, I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you?" Let me give you another scripture to just chew on before we start on this tremendous Tuesday. It's Psalm 34:19, and there are so many we could choose and so many we could go to, but this is a great one too. Psalm 34:19, New Century Version says, "People who do what is right may have many problems, but the Lord will solve them all." Can anybody say hallelujah? So our quest today is to go out through that door, if you're not already out through the door, maybe listening on the way to work, and go, "This is going to be the best, most tremendous Tuesday that I've ever had." And we pray, obviously, that that is exactly the truth. So as my husband would love to say, happy trails to you, and keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God. We love you and we thank you and we praise the Lord for you. Go out in the power of Jesus. Amen. Bye-bye.